why didn't God make us so that we all did as he wanted us?
Well, you're robots.
I said, well, A, we'd have been robots, and what fun would that have been?
But you see, God gave the free will. That was the difference. The difference was, yeah, the free will choose.
Free will, you can't have a relationship.
Because that the next relationship is control, isn't it?
I never thought of that.
And domination.
Would have been control, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just control and domination. Jump how high? You know that will be the question from us.
Yeah.
Not why, how high?
Yeah.
It's another joke, by the way. That, it's coming thick and fast at the moment.
Yeah.
I must have had a good nap today.
I've
no idea. So, you know, when we see these things, it's amazing. You know, I was going to say that we're actually should be theoretically coming to a place of perfection, and I believe that as with those pre-law people, some of them developed into that perfect relationship with God, and was not. Now then, I believe that is still a potential for the believers of today. Now then, it says in Scripture, in the New Testament, it says, when we are made perfect, then those who have gone before will also be made perfect. Now that, there's two things in that. Number one, those who have gone on before who are dead and now wherever, shall we say, Jesus said it was in paradise, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So those who've gone on before, and I look at it like this, is that they're not yet perfect, but what they are, they're in Bible school now,
yeah,
being perfected, but there's no more pain, there's no more sin for them.
But can I ask a question? And this has always troubled me, this. Across,
you know, you've got something nagging in this right here. There's a bit of tinnitus in this left eye. There's something else rattling in this ear.
It's like when Billy Graham died and they were all saying, well, he's gone to be with the Lord and he'll have his reward. And I'm thinking, but it doesn't say that in the Bible.
No.
It says you're asleep in Christ.
Yeah. You see that.
So what does that actually mean?
Well, before we go to that,
rest,
we're at peace. Yeah, that's right. You see, the problem is that we ministers have been the worst protagonists with the gospel.
Okay.
They to placate people, because that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Is they're saying, well, you know, so and so's gone to be with the Lord, you know, and they add all these things on, but they've missed the actual truth of what's going on.
Okay.
Rather than say it as it is, because sometimes it's not popular to say it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're deceiving ourselves and we're deceiving each other. Don't you want a more comfortable chair? Just see what you're sat on. All right, well. Sorry? Cloud of witnesses, yeah. You see, the word says we are encompassed about by a host of witnesses. Now, those are the saints who've gone on before. They're cheering us on. They're saying, come on. Come on, Ava, get yourself sorted, because, you know, we want to be made perfect, right?
Yeah.
And Robert, for goodness sake, how long have you been there? You know, you've been around church for 60 years, plus, haven't you?
Plus? Well, it's not been nasty.
Were your mother saved when you were born?
She was.
Oh, right.
I don't think she was.
Right. Because I'm going to say you've been around longer.
Yeah. No, she wasn't.
Right. Well, all right. 60 years plus one or two.
I think so, anyway.
But, so yeah, we're surrounded by a great host of witnesses, and these witnesses are cheering us on.
So are these witnesses the people who died and gone before?
Yeah. There are.
Like your mum and mine.
Yes. Yes.
They're not asleep.
They're asleep in that sense.
So why does it say asleep in Jesus then?
So that's, I think that word in sleep means at rest.
Mm. Okay.
No more, there's no more pain. There's no more torment. There's no more hurts going on. You know, there's no more sickness. There's no more. Yeah. They're at rest in God.
Okay.
You see, and rest and sleep can. And if we looked in the Hebrew Greek Bible, you might find that there's a slightly different term that is used. So that's something that we'll talk about later. But
somebody says you close your eyes in this way, you open them when you open them again. Mm-hmm.
The next word.
Well, it's our limited mindset as well.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
right.
What we can focus in of the night terms of the cross.
And this is why some of the strange, what we're talking about, these unusual things that have been said that are not actually fitting in the book.
Yeah.
We've said these because we felt that they couldn't cope with what we think with the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we count it, we sugarcoat it a little bit. When actually, we're actually downgrading the things of God.
Yeah.
That, you know, things are, you know.
I think that's what that book did, Rob. That blew my mind at that point, where how do you reconcile the evil and the horror that man does to each other in this world with a loving God. And it really set me back on my heels. I mean, I worked my way through it, but it's quite powerful when you're actually staring at your face and it's saying, well, it's this and it's that, and from a theological perspective, and you're thinking, I don't know about that. Do I actually believe in this loving God? It's reconciling it in our minds, but as it says at the end of that sort of chapter, it's about being open and not putting your own limits and your own limited mind thinking onto something that's totally beyond our understanding.
I think the biggest thing with that book is that you've got to pray and ask God his wisdom when poor I start reading it.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest.
Well, again, what you have to be aware of, that the books in that bookshelf, we might not agree 100% with what's in those books, but there are some things in those books which are good, and you need to read them and to know them, etc. But none of us have got it 100% right.
Mm.
Even Dan hasn't. So, you know, I mean, there you go.
You need discernment and discretion at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. And this is why we teach like we teach.
Yeah.
Because, and everything we teach is based on this book.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then we're out of line.
Yeah.
We're out of line.
Yeah.
So, that's the important thing, that we have to try to ensure that we are adhering to this. In fact, we had this conversation slightly yesterday, didn't we?
We did,
with some of the fellows when we were working. That, and one comment was, well, so far everything I've heard at this church has been Bible based.
Yeah.
And that is so important. It has to be on this book. Because if it's not on this book, we're in trouble.
This is
our gold standard.
For us, from our perspective, of approaching it as children, not being intimidated by things that we don't understand.
Exactly.
And taking things literally, if that's what we need to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we don't need to go into the theology of it. We don't need to think too deeply about it in terms of if it's out of here. If this is what we're reading, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
Just because we can't always get our heads around it, we just have to accept it and sort of, I suppose, park it. And it can.
Well, let me give you something else that just goes with that. No, you're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when you started school, they didn't teach you trigonometry, did they?
No,
I didn't. Now, so what they did, we started with
numbers,
basic numbers, basic letters, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we went through primary school. Infants, as it were called, when I was, and then we went into junior school. And do you know something? They were still teaching the same stuff from infants to juniors, but actually they pushed it up another level and they brought something else into it.
Yeah.
And then when we went from juniors, we went into seniors, and then they dropped something else in. It's like, where did that one come from?
Yeah.
You know, and building on as maths all the way through.
Yeah.
So, in the same way, when we get saved, we're as little children. Mm-hmm. And we come to Christ and we understand the word. Jesus said, unless you become a little child,
you can't enter
the kingdom. No. And so we learn to understand the word basically as little children. And then we grow in maturity because it talks in Scripture about the pure meat of the word. You know, children are on milk, right? And then as they grow and begin to mature, they go on to meat to help them continue to grow and to mature. Mm-hmm. And that is what the process is.
Yeah.
And so you're right in what you're saying, because we do that naturally anyway, that we go through a training program of learning things. And all we're doing is we're relearning it, but taking it deeper, taking it to another level. You know, and it's just mind-blowing. You know, you start with basic maths, next thing you're doing sort of maths plus, and then next thing you're doing maths GCE O level, next thing it's GCA level, and the next thing you're off to university, and they're at, oh my goodness gracious me, where are we going now? And you get to something, and then you get to pure maths, which is like, okay, that just went like that.
I think they should have carried on with religious studies in school. But the problem is
with religious studies in school is these days is you've got
atheists teaching them.
I'm trying to be polite. You've got atheists teaching the Bible. They don't believe it. So what slant are they going to put on it?
They don't even teach it half the time. My kids went to Penistone Grammar School, and they came home and they said to me, "Dad, who's Jesus?" I said, "What?" They're at third year. I said, "You've been taking..." Anyway, I went up, it was open day, and I had a right go with religious instructor. And I weren't saved, but I just thought, this is ridiculous. They're teaching every other religion worldly apart from Christianity.
Yeah.
And that's our religion in our country.
Well,
there's established in schools though now, aren't there? Because there's that many different religions,
aren't
there? Yeah. Well, I used to do some schools work when I first gave up my job in industry. I remember I brought a team over. I'd gone into one of senior schools, I can't remember exactly where it were, and I did a couple of classes. And afterwards, I just hung around as I do, if anybody wants to chat. And a girl came up to me and started chatting. And she said to me, you know the story of the Red Sea and crossing the Red Sea and then drowning Pharaoh's army? She said to me, what they did, what our RE teacher said, is that they actually walked through a marshland area where it is only a couple of 2 or 3 inches of water. And that's how they got across, you see. As she said that came, you know, that counter came straight into my mind. And I said to her, I said, that's an even greater miracle than what I've been led to believe. She looked at me, she said, why? Well, I said, here you've got these fighting men, fit men, able to do battle, wielding great big swords and spears. I said, and they get drowned in a couple of inches of water. I said, that is absolutely amazing. I said, I am gobsmacked by that. And she looked at me, she said, you're right, you know, I never thought of that. And she went away happy and rejoicing.
Must have been thinking something. I think
somebody
said he called the
reed
sea, not the red sea, the
changing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the trial source number. But actually, they've actually found in the actual Red Sea, they've actually found chariot wheels and parts of chariots in there.
There's very little in here that isn't either referred to by one or two historians from that time, or there isn't physical evidence for, including the creation. Even scientific, honest, it's a bit like pharmaceutical firms dominating mental health. It's subdued, it's put down because it doesn't suit the populace.
No, it doesn't suit what they're wanting to do, neither.
Millions of pounds, isn't it?
about infant school. When kids are babies, they're very much protected, aren't they?
Yeah.
Not a lot untoward happens to them. There's the odd one.
Hopefully.
But then you get into the junior and suddenly there are different challenges. But if you're in the Word and you're learning, if you're in, as a Christian in the junior school, you will have been taught more advanced things, make you more aware of what God's standard is and where you're hearing from the world, and you're sort of going through that. And then you get to senior school and, oh boy, you get a full deluge, don't you? But hopefully, if you've got a good youth work, you're being countered, it's all being countered by the Word of God. And you're being taught, and so you see it for what it is. And you recognise God's measure on it, and how far from it this is. And so, but if you've never had that teaching, you know, they're very vulnerable. Wham, bang, wallop.
Well, I sometimes think an education with the Word can be a hindrance in some respects.
You overthink things.
Yeah, and look too deeply or not at all. And you make much more assumptions, I think. There's an innocent thing in a lack of... It's I know I find that myself sometimes, not that I'm overeducated, but I do think my thought processes, because that's been taught, that's been learned,
it can hinder.
It will. Because it knocks a child out there.
Yeah.
If God says it,
then
it's
done. And this is where let's step back a few weeks when we were talking about listening to the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and learning to recognise God's voice. And that is an important thing, because when you start to read this book, the Bible, and I say this, that this is a living book, it changes in one sense, that it opens up. It's a... Yong Yi Cho wrote, he wrote Fourth Dimension. There's a dimension in this that the world doesn't recognise. And it's only by spiritual eyes and an openness of your spirit that you see the depths and the meaning of God. And we know there are many educated people who've read the Bible and having finished it and turned around and said, there is no God. Right? Why? Because their minds and their eyes are blinded to the absolute truth. And so it is a case of we read this, and we read this with our open spirit and the Holy Spirit tuning us to that point where he can speak to us. I mean, even in this chapter that we're spending time in, Matthew 6, it's a tremendous chapter of stuff in here. I mean, I've said, actually, if you were only to read Matthew, I think it's like 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8, that's it, you don't need any more. You could ride to heaven on all of that. Because there's so much in there. You know, there's the Beatitudes, etc. in there. But
it's kingdom lifestyle.
It's just the kingdom lifestyle that we need to learn to live. And I'm still, you know, I still look at this 6:33, seek ye first. And I still believe what it should say, seek ye first the King of his kingdom and his righteousness. You see, I'm not looking for a kingdom. I'm looking for a saviour. I'm looking for a king.
And it's righteousness. Relationship. You can't relationship with a kingdom. It's got to be a person.
And the problem is that, you know, people talk about, I'm kingdom living, I'm kingdom based, you know, I'm etc. And it's like, you're not, because living in the kingdom has to be a much more of a personal relationship we have with the Lord Jesus. And our emphasis is on relationship. Mm. You know, we get on well with one another because we work together, we have a relationship with one another. We're not the same. We're not the same by any stretch of the imagination, but we make space for each other because each and every one of us brings a different flavour and a savour to life's experiences and the power of the gospel and the word of God. And so God through us brings a mixture. There's something powerful and tremendous that releases His power, releases that anointing of the presence of God into people's lives. And so it's important that we learn this and we understand this. And you've got to realise that as we learn, we change in our thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we were at school, you know, as I said earlier, we understand basic maths. And then suddenly we move to trigonometry and it's like, it's so far apart, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. Well, to some of us, algebra was big enough a step, weren't it? You know, when they started to move to letters and numbers together, it's like, why do you do this? You know, the numbers are numbers and letters are letters, surely. And
English,
I must admit at one time I was very good at algebra, but, you know, anyway. So we sort of grow, we change. I said my doctrine
has changed
over the years, and we start off hopefully with a good foundation, a base foundation, and then you build on that, and you build, and the word of God grows in you and lives in you and breathes through you and becomes life changing not only to you but to those you come into contact with in your daily life. And they look and say, there's something different about you, what is it? Well, my foundation's built on the word of God and my life is built on the word of God, and there's a process of changing that's going on in my life day by day. And the things that I did last year, I don't do this year, shall we say, things like that. And, you know, some of us would have thought 10 years ago we'd arrived, we were there. Until God says one day, excuse me, can we have a word? You know, and it's like, really? Oh, no. You know, and you think, I've got to start on that. And so don't feel condemned when that happens.
No.
Right? Because that's the loving Father who's saying, come on, Shirley, I've got something even greater for you to get involved in and to be part of, you see. And that's the love of the Father that we're being exposed to. And it causes us to grow and to develop into this new creation, this perfect being that God intended for us right at the beginning of creation. And I know people don't like the word, are you perfect? I'm on the journey. I'm on that journey. And to sort of deny that is, you know, you're denying the power of the word of God. You're on a journey of perfection. Hallelujah. Your spirit's perfect. And so if we listen to the word of God and our spirit speaks to us through the word of God, then it will take us deeper and closer to that process of perfection in Christ Jesus. Deals with your thinking, deals with your soulish man, because he's the guy that got us all into trouble in the first place. You know, when Satan came in the garden and said, excuse me, did God say? That's right, he just planted a thought. Did God say? He didn't say God did not say, right? He just doubts. And this is where you and I always, our biggest problem is when doubt comes. When we were buying this when we were in the process on this building, the number of folks outside of this fellowship that knew me and knew about what were going off here, the number of seeds of doubt they were sowing, it was just unbelievable. And I had to really watch myself because some of them were beginning to take root. Because I'd waited a long time.
That's when you need one another.
And this is where you need one another to, you know, come on, Gio, do this, do, you know, and to even pull out some of the seeds that have begun to germinate, shall we say, and take them out. And so it's important that we to, you know, we flow together in the things of God, that we see God moving in power.
I find that the more you read and understand about Jesus, to me, I know I might be wrong, I don't understand, but I feel that the light of God is getting brighter.
Absolutely, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. Perfect analogy and answer that, really. So, yeah, and this is important that we, and it's good sometimes just to sit and do this. Talking.
Well, you know, when you were talking about how your doctrine's changed, since me and Tab's come here, I was totally changed. And also, we don't watch programmes like we used to do. We might watch boring house programmes, but we don't watch these murders and all things like we used to watch. Because we both said to each other, if one of you preached one day about it, or one of you had. And I thought, imagine him being you guys, when he said, you've got to watch what you watch on television and you've got to be careful. And we both went home and said, you know what, we've got to be careful what we watch on TV from now on. So we are. And things like that we'd never even thought about before.
Yeah.
And the things that you spoke about here at Harvest Field, I'll say that way, has enlightened us, to be quite honest. And Tabs have been saved probably longer than me, or about the same. But I came from a church where I was on the leadership. I might as well tell everybody, I know, and then you'll get to know about what I did. But I felt that I was pushed into it a little bit because there was nobody else. And I used to be a worship leader, which is a bit of a joke, really, because there were only about eight of us in church anyway. But the thing is, all that were pushed on me. And I weren't ready. And I never realised it until, at the point when I first came here, I was on the verge of giving up church altogether. I came with Tabs, and it was my idea for us to come here, because I'd known Andrew from many years ago, and we got back in touch. And then it reversed. It was, Tabs came here and she felt God call us here. But me, I was just ready for packing all in because of what happened to me in Barnsley. And I'm not going to that because it's ridiculous, really. But Harvest Field has been my salvation. And God, obviously, God brought me here, which I didn't realise, you know. But it just shows how God can turn things round.
Yeah.
And there I was, not even wanting to go to church. Now I can't wait to come.
Amen.
So it just shows how things, how God.
Yeah.
And another thing, a little bit about Jim, he's now responding to, they pricked him in his arm and his arm shot up here. He's breathing on his own. His blood pressure's gone back to normal. His swelling on his brain has gone. So now there's just waiting for each day for a little bit of improvement. So God's already started the work.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I think that's fantastic. Now, I went round to my neighbour, Stuart, my best mate from school, and I said, you know, I told him the news. I said, oh, you know, God's marvellous. He said, no, I think it's when they put his little girl on his chest, that's what's done it. I thought, here we go. You know, and I said to Sam, this is my ex-boss's wife, possibly boss as well, I said, you know what hurts me, Sam, in all this? That when all this is, when he's come round and everything's all right, they'll all forget about God. And she said to me, I won't, Rob. And I thought, wow.
Mm.
I mean, that if one person gets salvation from it, then it's great, isn't it?
You know,
absolutely.
Rob, that's a confession I think you need to change. And a lot of people don't getting in any way at you, because I...
No, I know you've got to be careful with words.
But perhaps we ought to be saying, this miracle, there'll be lots of people brought to Jesus because of this miracle.
Well, that's what my prayer was when I first prayed to God for him to recover. Because I said to your father, I said, if you heal him, which I know you can do, because of his job and the people he knows, there will be such a turning towards God, I believe it would, because people would think, well, how on earth has that happened?
Mm.
You know, because for all intents and purposes, you weren't going to make it
no.
at all.
Sometimes a medical stature, you know, it's a miracle. they can't understand it, they can't do it.
Don't trust them, got the answer for it.
No, they don't tie our part in that, don't we, by prophesying?
Yes,
because
what we speak,
something to them, is the prophesying that God's going to get the glory.
Yeah, man of God prophesying for years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not prophesying doubt.
I never heard of the word faith, just came here.
But it is the power of our words, as powerful as God's words.
That's one thing that we've both started doing, being very careful what we say, and Tad checks me, I check her, and said I'll be going around not talking.
If you want to break through on healing, you need to read the healing scriptures out there and read the word. Because as you're reading it, you don't know how it happens or why or what's going on, but your body is listening to that.
Right,
and because your body is created by the Creator and your words are as powerful as the Creator's, it's responding to what you say.
Right.
So if you keep saying, I'm sick and I've got this and I've got that, your body's agreeing with you, and that's what is happening.
I think that's just been happening with me, Chris. You know, I said I went to the doctor's yesterday. I got there, she said, right, what can we do for you? I said, you call me to come in. So she said, she told me, it took me years. And I realised after when I got home, I think I've been speaking it, saying, I've got a little of this and I've got a little of that. I've been speaking it out, saying, I've been bringing it on myself.
Yeah.
And I
have to say, since Grace told me about the angina thing, and I'm afraid over, and I've told everybody this. That touching wood!
Just not me.
Not wood,
actually. No, that's all right. not even a whiff. Nothing.
Nothing. No, and if the
not
even tries to bring something on, you don't fall. It's no. It is written.
Yeah.
God says, and read the scripture. I mean, John and I, and we're going to order some more of these. God's created word for healing.
Yeah.
Just a little booklet.
Yeah.
But the power in those words, the scriptures, the verses that will speak straight to your body. You know that. I thank you, God, that there's no blockages in my arteries, that my arteries are strong and elastic and running free. And, you know, all these scriptures, and your body's saying, it's doing it.
It's doing it. I mean, all the things, what's wrong with him, but he's as bright as a button, you know what I mean?
Not sleep, well, he never will sleep if he can't sleep. It's like when you pull it, you've got to say to yourself, I'm not pulling it, I'll get the Bible, I don't use it as with me, and that's when I'm not well, David knows the Bible, it works, it's active and living.
So when you confess it, it creates what you're confessing in your body.
Getting into that habit, though, it's easier said than done.
It's breaking the old habit.
I've just done that a bit where I'm actually speaking it out. I sit here and read it.
I don't like speaking out.
I know what you're saying, because yesterday, the day before.
I actually said, I'll tell you what I said.
I said, Father, you are my Father. Amen. You know how I feel. And I feel so stupid speaking out loud. But I know that you can alter that. And you will alter it, so I'm doing it. But you know, and you've got to do it. And I learned.
Let me give you an example.
Can I just say one thing? When I'm getting angry with the devil, I know that spirit exists.
Yes.
Because I see it manifesting.
Yeah.
I look at that thing and I say, in the name of Jesus, you will shut your mouth. You will not communicate in this way with me or whoever's involved in it. Because whatever I stop on earth is stopped in heaven.
Yeah.
And
Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Back off and be gone in Jesus' name.
Grace, do you see it or sense it?
But my spirit's angry because I see that, I know I can't see the spirit, but I know that it's there and it's real and it's working against me. And it gives this anger inside of me. You're under my feet, you will not do
it.
I'm in charge, you're not.
I think your mum said if you get the Bible, you can't get it. If you get the Bible, the painting can't run.
You
think it's quite good for the city, but not the women.
One at a time.
I feel stupid. When you get used to it, it works, especially when you're used to it. And you know that you speak it, it's working on your body. Yeah. It's working on the evil that you're coming against.
Well, that's when I spoke it out, and I spoke about Jim, and I prayed about Jim out loud. And then an hour later, I got a message saying that all these things were getting better.
It's all right, I'll deal with you when you get home.
I'm sorry. I'm going to the
bathroom. Well, actually, we've just got a very good example of how to deal with you when you're at home. I'll just say.
Allie,
oh, that's not nice.
What I was going to say when I was stopped. How many of you, now I'm talking about, you know, when you say you feel stupid, how many of you, and you in particular, will have done this? This I do know, because this is what men do. When, for instance, something mechanical goes wrong with something, and you say to the car, you stupid
car.
And you talk to a piece of metal that has never, ever spoken, that is actually under your total control, you know, and you talk to it.
Yeah.
And then you tell me,
laptop.
Your computer, you know, stupid computer, why don't it do this, what's it doing now, you know.
How many times did you answer news?
So you know, you're doing that, and yet you're saying, and yet we're saying to you, talk to God as if He's there, because He is there. Because the Word says, God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you
always,
even to the ends of the earth. Right?
You had a car, you went through, and it went wrong, and you were stuck somewhere, and you put your hand down and came to God, and it went.
This guy always ran his car on fumes, right, and we started coming up the hill into Maltby, and he'd upset me during the day, and he'd messed my day up a bit, and I was a bit ticked off, and I was silently fuming. I was being very gracious somehow, which is very, you know, and silently fuming about this situation. And all of a sudden, and I'm late for picking Grace up from work, and his car begins to hunt because it's got no fuel in it, like, and we're going up this hill. And that point, I got past my patience. It broke. And I literally did, and I lifted my hand up in the air, and I slammed it on the dash. I said, in the name of Jesus, go! And this car literally went, lifted up in the air, and set off. And out of my peripheral vision, I saw him look at me. And it got to the church where my car was parked, and I just got out and left him, and I thought, I don't care whether
he's having a lot of money.
And that was a minister, by the way. So I killed his hair that day. Bless him. But these things are subject to us. Jesus spoke to the winds and the waves and said, peace, be still. Mm. You see?
I think you need to push through the battle.
Oh, you do.
Your body will feel a lot better, Shirley, if you keep doing them scriptures. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll feel a lot better.
Yeah. Just practicing it. Just practicing it.
Sometimes the devil will say, oh, you're stupid. Yeah. You know, because you've got to go over that.
I think we should let her.
When you can sit and be open, you see,
yeah.
Because this is
you learn a lot and encourage.
Yes,
encourage
that's right. This is part of Bible studying. It's part of what is good for us.
It's life, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It is. It's life, and so it's important that we you know we do these things. And obviously today, by the look of it, you've spent an hour just. talking, and we haven't even started on Bible study, so it don't look like we're really going to get into it. But
it's actually part of our daily bread.
It is.
Yeah. What we need,
yeah.
Daily bread.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Well, it is part of it. There's no doubt about it. But I'm not sure whether I could do it justice today for to start on it. But what we could do is. We could just go back a little bit. We could go back to the sort of the Lord's Prayer in one sense, and maybe, and this will throw a wobbler for one or two, you know. But the fact of just, you know, the Lord's Prayer starts off, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Can we just stop there? And obviously, we have the names of God, and Ava has graciously found additional ones that, because there are additional ones, you know, and the ones that I put down are not the just, they're not the be all and end all, but those are the ones that link into those sin, spirit, soundness, success, and security, and then there are other names of God that the people had for God, in a way to remember what God had done for them and what God is able to do for them, you see. So those that Ava has given you, I didn't get a copy, by the way. obviously I must know them all. Right, we can use that and print it upstairs, can't we? Thank you. So just to see these and, you know, see what they are saying to us, and just realise that God is there for each and every one of us. You know, 16, God is my rock. Mm. Wow.
Just to call him Father.
Just to call him Father. Yes.
It's relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Family.
Yeah.
But you can't do that without relationship. You can't call Daniel Father or... I mean, I call David brother and Louise sister, but it's not something we necessarily, you might do as
been established, but I think we sometimes struggle with it. The oikoloi.
That's
an
educated
yeah,
now,
yeah,
because
it is that family relationship.
Yes. The
saying our father
yeah.
is significant. It's a big
thing,
really,
that
we don't think about.
It is, yeah. And if you remember, I think I've told it, I've probably told you all, but you know, I used to just simply go and sit in a chair, and which raced through and. never really got a chair.
Found a replacement.
Yeah. You should have put it together. It disturbed me. And I've lost.
It was patched up with.
I don't care what it was patched up. It was that was my. Now to chop this out. That was my chair.
Fold it twice, and that was the seat. And then if you wanted it, you could just flip it out and it was a bed.
Oh, wow.
It was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
You should have put it together.
Let me tell you what happened once with that chair. Let me tell you what happened once with that chair, right? I'm booked to go and preach at a Church of England church. Actually, it was All Saints in Woodlands.
Oh, yeah.
And the vicar there was John Hawley, very matter of fact, very down the line, great guy, and he invited me to go over and preach, and I prayed about this, and the Lord, 6 weeks before, and the Lord gave me a verse of scripture to preach from, so I got stuck into this, and I got a word ready, and I'd got it all ready, and Sunday, it was Sunday evening service, so Sunday afternoon, I'm at home, you know, we're at home, and I'm just going through it again, and I'm sat in this chair, and I just said, Lord, I've prayed about this word, and you've given me this word, but I haven't asked you what you're going to do. That's what I said. And immediately, he started to show me. The first thing I saw was the inside of the church. Now, at that point, I'd never been in that church. And I saw the inside of the church and the aisleway going up. And partway up the aisleway, on the right-hand side, was somebody with grey, longish hair, sat in a wheelchair, and somebody with them. And I thought, and a blue coat, right? That's what I saw. Then, the next part what I saw was loads of people laid on the floor. And I'm like, okay. Right, Lord, I hear what you're saying. I get the message. And at that point, that was it. We went to the church service, and as I walked in church, there were only two people in the church building, in the main building when I walked in. And guess what was in there?
A wheelchair
with a grey-haired person, longish grey hair, in a blue car coat. And I'm like, oh my Lord, what's going to happen next? And so then the vicar came out and he said to me, what's your reading? So I gave him a reading. And John said, reading for today. And off he goes, you see. And he said, somebody come, go in that room, somebody come and pray with you. And I'm like, what's he on about? Reading for today. So I sat in this room on my own a few minutes, then somebody came in and we prayed. And as I sat there, it suddenly dawned on me, Church of England have a set reading pattern, don't they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, you see. But I obviously did somewhere, but, you know, I mean, I didn't know where it was. And so I'm like, interesting. I wonder, is that the... And then John comes back and says, we read that this morning. I'm like, right, okay, I thought... Here we go. I couldn't wait to get up and preach.
Yeah.
Well, I'm ready. I'm fired, you know. Engines are running and everything's going. And I got up and preached. And I preached for about 30, 40 minutes. And the Lord had said to me, whilst I was on the chair at home, that was it, the Lord said to me, I want you to pray for people today, but I don't want you to touch one of them. Okay. You don't touch any of them. Right, Lord. Fine. So when it came, I gave this appeal for prayer for for healing, should I say. Not for prayer, for healing. Let's be specific what it's about. And I stood there for about what seemed an eternity, and nobody's moving. And then the devil says, "See, you were wrong, weren't you? Shut up." You know. And then all of a sudden, and they've got typical like what we had here, yeah, stone floor. I hear a pair of high heels from the very back of the church walking down. And there's this lady, similar size to Shirley, and she was wearing this like a crimpoline pleat skirt, very light, because it was summertime as well. She came out for prayer. I don't know, I can't remember what she came out for. And I just stood there and just began to pray for her. And I didn't touch her. And all of a sudden, as you know, I don't pray with my eyes closed. All of a sudden, I saw a skirt come out like a parachute. And I realised that she was going down. So I simply walked behind her, because I didn't have anybody out to come and catch us here. I'd missed that bit, you see. I was that sort of... So I just simply walked straight behind her, caught her as she was going down, and just popped her on the floor. And turned around to everybody and said, "Isn't that wonderful? There she is on the Lord's operating table, and God's doing a wonderful thing, you know, just leave her there, like, just let the Lord work on her." Anybody else, the next thing, somebody else comes out. With 13 people on the floor. All laid out. And I didn't touch one of them. Well, John, the vicar, said to me, rang me later on in the week, said, "Come through for coffee. We need to talk."
Can I just ask what happened to the
wheelchair person? No, my faith weren't at that level.
Right.
They didn't come out.
And they didn't come out for prayer. So that, you know, that was it.
You were a sign on
it. It was just as Daniel says, it was probably just a sign to me that sort of, you know, it's the first thing I saw when I went in the church. It's like,
whoa,
So I went to see John later on, and we had coffee, and he said to me, "Oh," I said, "we had a meeting of the parish council, etc." And he said, "Somebody said that you were pushing them down." Oh. Well, he said, I watched John as well, because John set himself up. And he got himself in such a position that he could see. And he saw that I hadn't touched anybody. Well, he said, "I'm going to tell you now." He says, "I set myself in a position." He said, "He never touched one." Oh. So then somebody comes up and says, "Well, he's got trigger words that, to knock people down." So I said to John, I said, "When you find out what they are, let me know, because I want to use them on somebody." But yeah, and so these were the things. Now John himself was not big into healing and the things of the spirit, but it awakened John a little bit, and he still keeps in touch with us now, even though he's retired and moved to Goal area, you know. We're still in touch with him, and it was just an amazing time of seeing God moving, touching people, healing people, and for me it was a learning curve as well, and this is why I'm saying to you about, you know, we've taught a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and He wants to speak to you, He wants to communicate with you. You're not disconnected from God. You are now interconnected with God. And so this is why we want to spend time saying, let's listen to God. What is God saying? And you might say, well, you've heard you tell the story of the guy, the lady, old lady, and the word wheelbarrow. Well, it's stupid, isn't it, that? But that's because of the request. And God has answered that need, you see. So and just simply, God might give a word or a sentence, and you think, well, what's all that about? But it might be just something that somebody else has spoken to God about during the week. And then suddenly God is like, I'm going to use you, Shirley, as the answer. Wow. You think, me? But I'm nobody. We're nobody. But in Christ, we're all things. We're powerful, you see. We came to Christ as nothing. We became filled and born again with the Spirit of God. Now we are to be reckoned with. We are children of the Most High God.
Amen.
We are saints. And he's given us all power and all authority, and we've to learn to use it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like giving a kid a sword and saying, "What are you going to do with that?" I've no idea. What should I do? I once went and did fencing, you know, with the thin ones. And my partner, he was just absolutely wild about it. You know, he stabbed me to death. I don't know how many times. You know, and I realised that like that, you're not learning anything. You know, because he was that. You know, like. Well, what just happened there, you know, forget it. So it's about us helping you practice. We've done it before, haven't we? Well, we've just said we're just going to sit and ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. And we'll sit somebody in a chair and we'll say, right, we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us into this life of this person. What's God saying? And it's not being us saying it, is it? It's been like we're waiting and we're listening to God to speak, and he might speak through somebody else, which he did, and also then he confirms it through us. So this is where it all begins to develop, and you get that confidence to realise that, hey, God wants to use me, God can use me, and you are available.
I'm not being big-headed, but you know, I told you that I did last Thursday night, in the day. I tried to pray for an hour, and I had this tape with Shirley on a night, and I thought, well, I'm going to try it, I'm going to do my best.
Ooh.
Yes, I take Pastor Torches, and David says, do it every 10 minutes, it's all right, you know. So I put it on, and I thought, no, I'm going to do it quarter of an hour, I'm going to do my best. And you know, I let him talk on the tape for quarter of an hour, and I turned it off, and I didn't think I could do it. But things came out to me that would never come out. And you know, I thought I'd be sat there thinking,
yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for it to come on the next one. But I weren't.
Mm.
You know, I wasn't just come out for it. I just sat there, and then things came out to me. And then something else came out to me.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And then Pastor come back on quarter of an hour later, and then it finished me quarter an hour later. And I couldn't believe it. I said to David, I'm proud of myself.
Amen.
I was dreading it. I was absolutely dreading it.
We were in the flow.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I still have to believe it now.
Excellent.
I'm going to do it every Thursday. I'm going to try every Thursday in the day, not at night. But on my own in the day when nobody's about. I'm going to try it again.
Yeah.
It might not come, but I'm going to do my best.
It
will. Is that the Holy Spirit coming to me?
He promises he will.
And that's part of growing. That's part of the experience. And what you've got to realise is, as this happens, it just causes to grow stronger and to develop. And sometimes we might make a mistake, but hey, God's bigger than any mistake you'll ever make.
But I thought I'd come this week and say, well, I tried it, but it didn't work. You know what I mean?
Not so.
I couldn't believe myself.
And you see, God speaks in different ways, and this is why, you know, I remember when God first started really speaking to me, the communications began to open up. It was very much picture orientated, because
yeah.
I work in pictures a lot, you know. And then it got to a point where he'd give me a sentence, and that were okay. I managed with that. And then there were times when he just gave me a word, and I'm like, wait a minute, this ain't enough, surely. And so God works to develop you. Again, it's like primary school, junior, senior, It's this development of you and I as we grow spiritually in God and in hearing his voice and learning, you see. It's like when we've been to Romania, Danny has had a word for somebody and I've gone back to them, given them exactly the same word, and we're in the same meeting but we're at the other end of church and neither heard what the other one said and didn't even know that we'd prayed for that person. So it's like, oh really, oh that's interesting, and vice versa. So, and that's when you know the Spirit is flowing. That is the great thing. And so often here in our services, we don't sit down and plan a meeting and say, right, you do this, and then when you said that, I'll say this. You know, it's none of that. It's not really pre-planned at all. Hopefully it's pre-planned by the Holy Spirit. And then the flow just goes, you know, somebody brings a scripture and what have you. I mean, the other, Michelle, you know, I knew Michelle had got something to bring Wednesday night, and I think she weren't going to do it off her own bat. She sat there and she's itching to, but she's like, I daren't, she's itching to, and I thought, blow it, I'm sick of the jump, she's sort of doing this and that. I said, Michelle, come on. Come on, Michelle, let's have it. And then she gets up, she uses two verses of scripture. I'm going to use, I'm thinking, all right. You know.
You
just
shut yourself.
Yeah.
That young daddy, when young daddy comes sometimes on Sunday, you'll say, oh, I was going to preach this, but the Lord's told me to, I've got to say, you know.
Yeah. It happens. I mean, I've had situations where I've studied the word and got a message ready. I might have spent a week on it, sort of thing, on and off through the week. Come to church and sit at meeting, you know, and all of a sudden this voice says, oh, by the way, we're not doing that today. And I'm like, what? Do you not realise I have spent all week on this? I said, so what are we doing? And then he said, just turn to so and so. And I turned to him and go, oh, right. And he gives me a verse. And I'm like, and? Just start there.
Yeah.
I mean, we went on a crusade, I've told you, down in Southampton. I mean, it weren't a crusade. They thought it was going to be a crusade.
Demolition
crew. God sent demolition crew in. You know. And I actually was fulfilling a prophecy and prophecies that have since also been spoken over my life, that I'm a bit like a demolition man. God called me his wrecking ball. Nobody likes a wrecking ball, do you? You know, here it comes, you know, there's stuff flying all over the place. I mean, first meeting, a family walked out on me in church. I'm like, yeah, this is a good start, isn't it? You know, and you know, next morning I got up and I'm like, okay. And the Lord said to me, this is what you're preaching on tonight. And he gave me a verse of scripture. And so I turned to it and started looking at it. There's no way I'm preaching that, God. Let's forget that. And I get my notes because I've got notes prepared for the week.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm struggling to, you know, I'm going through that. And I just can't concentrate on it. And then I said, okay. And I go back to the scripture again. And I tell you what. 18 months, for the next 18 months, that church were involved at that time with prayer for Israel. And there were some big names in prayer for Israel. And they had contacts with big names in prayer for Israel. And we used to come through this small church and preach. And for 18 months, they preached exactly what I'd been preaching for that week. And the church never changed. It never repented. It never turned. So, but God gave him a chance and opportunity. And for me,
a bit like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, I left and the Lord said to me, shake the dust off your feet. And I left that church shaking the dust off my feet, didn't I?
Yeah.
I've never been back since.
How long did you do it for?
Well, we were there for a week, just over. And you know, it's just like, it's unbelievable. But it was an experience.
It
was a growing experience. It was a thing that, you know, I'd never done before, never experienced. And to get up every morning, well, sometimes I get up in the morning, God would give me a scripture, sometimes nothing. And then mid-afternoon, God said to me, oh, by the way, you're going to preach from so-and-so tonight. And I'd turn to scripture and, oh, God. Oh no, I'm going in with wrecking ball again tonight, you know, it's like
David taught me at the beginning that life's waves, you never get it straight, it's always up and down.
It flows. Life flows, it's living.
That's what I have.
So praise God.
But just another thing that came to me was, God says, I give you authority. A person in authority is not silent, are they?
No.
If you're sent to Edmund to study, you know that the man in authority has got something to say. And he's not going to sit and expect you to mind read, is he? He's going to let you have it. And that's what authority is.
Which
speaking
is
out.
God sometimes does let you have it, doesn't he? You know, and it's like, yeah, okay, I've got to charm up. So,
but just to bless this one, sometimes, yeah, I am stubborn, and God's dealt with a lot of rebellion in me. But you've done it.
There
you go. But Andrew, you know, certain people say things to me and I think, oh. Yeah. But if this one says it to me, I won't wait any time.
Imagine that.
And then.
You don't know what I've had to live with the last
15 years.
No,
don't
say
it
like that, because that's just a so I won't wait, and I might be human, but then the Spirit of God starts to work on me. Or was there any truth in what you said? Well, yes.
Anybody but you. Anybody but you.
But you know, God used anger to shape my nature more than anybody else. Because he's a person I love and I listen to, and I won't hurt. And it's amazing what he uses, how he uses people.
Especially when I say, Greg, a lot of what you said touched me much more than me too. And I obviously weren't ready. That's what I needed at that time.
And he will bring people.
So without all that, you wouldn't be.
Yeah, true. David and I would never hurt David. No. I don't want it. Is it about that? Also, I respect everybody now.
And sometimes they can be quite short with you.
Oh, yeah. I get told.
Don't.
Like, I'm often going to talk to people in church when they're talking and it's not up to them. So I don't, that's why I sit down quiet, so I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mustn't go up to people when they're talking. I've got about 5 different things. Well, together for that. But I always listen to these words.
Yeah, because God speaks to you. There's truth in it.
Yeah.
But you have to.
That's the trouble with most.
In your own way, don't
I interviewed, see, when Pastor was talking, he said, that's why you put your hand up. So, you know, I've got to learn. I want to live from
I know.
Yeah. And we all learn. That Andrew says about school, I never had it, they always told me to go outside. So I couldn't understand people.
Well, you're not outside.
And I don't know when he's going to
be outside. I was never at school.
And when he said about,
I was never
at school.
I got the cane every day of the week.
We don't have chain here.
Leave my school at dinner time, walk them out to other schools, pet my brothers and sisters, foot shop, buy them dinner, feed them, wash them, set them back to school. I was going back to school when it was time to come home. Every day, 5 days a week.
We have a clue. Oh, yeah, I love going to school because I'm away from home.
I couldn't run away from home because I'd nowhere to go.
God,
Shirley, you're home now. I'll have my say that.
Yeah, and it's teaching you a different way.
I've had a lot of penis dips I've started going to church.
Praise God.
I never had before. I was an evil person. I'd attack anybody that looked at me.
But
I'm a lot better person now.
You're the nicest person now.
One of the top person. But it wasn't for COVID and me hiding in the corner. I wouldn't be here today. I would have come to church.
And a persistent
I just dated the Lord for my life from the age of 11 up to 42. Then I didn't want to know that part of my life. Because it wasn't for COVID, I wouldn't come here.
So how did you end up coming here then?
Because it was listening to Andrew on Zoom, and it was called Zoom. Ian and Brenda, because the computer was at my house, because he used my internet.
Right.
You want to sit and listen to it? And I kept saying, I'm not interested. I just was not interested. And then all of a sudden, I started listening to him, and gradually he kept saying, "We'll both see you in church." And I kept saying, no, you won't. But Easter Sunday, I said to Andrew, "I will come to church."
And she keeps the
word. And I came to church on that Easter Sunday. And then with Andrew and Grace's help, it was that that turned my life around, otherwise I'd have still been that nasty person today.
Mm-hmm.
So if it weren't for Grace and Andrew,
but God's doing an amazing
you've got to say it's God. It's God that does it.
Mm. Oh yeah, but it was Andrew and Grace
yeah.
Himself.
Well, then.
Because when I lost my two sons, I blamed God for taking my two sons. And for 20 years, I never mentioned the Lord at all. I hated him, you know what I mean? And then it was Andrew and Grace that turned my life around. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be in the church.
God uses his vessel, doesn't he? You know what's even more exciting, Sherman?
What?
Right.
What?
What you are steadily becoming.
Yeah.
What the end product will be, the end person will be.
Mm.
And I'm talking about long before we're ever taken up to be with God.
Mm.
He's got something really, really special for you that will absolutely blow your mind.
Amen.
And that's what I'm looking for.
I still get big problems. I've got one big problem that hit me like that, like a ton of bits last night. I thought, not again. But I'll talk to you then.
Okay.
But it is one big problem. And
it's not your problem.
And I kept saying, God can't help me.
There's nothing God can't help you with. Nothing at all.
Nothing's bigger than God.
No.
It'll turn it into a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, just turn to page 5. And this is sort of like the first part of the prayer track, the first part of our prayer in one sense. And really this fits, one of the names of God fits into your situation, and I don't know what it is yet, but, and it's Jehovah Jireh. Success. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah's provision shall be seen. And God will always provide. We stand and we trust him, we believe it and we confess it. Lord, you are my provider. It's not the state, it's not my wages. The company I worked for, I got to a point where I realised they were not my provider, God was my provider. And I trusted him. He used them for the provision,
And he, but when I quit that, it was like, God's still the provider. So nothing had changed. Right? And so it meant then God had to use other means to provide for us. And he did. And he provided with more abundance. And yet if you looked at the wage packet, the numbers were less. But somehow it all went further.
Was that the first time I came here? Well, it was like singing Amazing Grace. And something came in here. You were lost, but now you found. But because they were repeated in, I thought, oh, now again, I'm not having this again. You know, I thought they were testing me. But that day, and I remember this, Pastor Andrew and Grace took us home. And Pastor said, are you coming again? I said, no, I'll leave it for fortnight and see how it goes on. But do you know, I couldn't wait to get it for some more. And I still got a bit bored at first, but it was like a step going back again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I weren't looking today, were I? Said, I'm not going.
Yeah, you won't be there.
I said, I'm not going to do it today.
But if you don't, we won't be here.
No, I was having that. I wasn't going to come today. I was determined I wasn't going to come, and I thought, there's no point going to church, there's nobody there that can help me out with this situation that I am faced with.
The one person.
It is a major, major, major problem.
God.
Long before.
God.
And if anyone can help me out with this one.
And they parted the Red Sea, so I don't think you've got a problem.
You need to remember, he is Jehovah Shalom,
and
he's your peace, so don't be anxious.
Mm-hmm.
He is Jehovah Nisa, my banner in battle.
Mm. He fights for you.
He fights for you. Yeah. When you're in peace, that peace starts to go into action. It's a spiritual weapon.
Yeah.
That's why the devil wants you agitated. Because you can do the negative. Yeah. But God says if you're in peace, peace goes into action and starts to work for you. And he says, and I fight for you.
Mm.
And is your protector.
Yeah,
and is all you need.
Yeah.
Is your shepherd, he'll lead you out of it.
Yeah.
It's best to come out of a situation, because when you're told you're focusing on it all the time, it's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
If you come out, you get out of
it.
You're
getting peace,
you're
looking at it.
Yeah, and come out of it away from it.
Well, I'll talk to her.
I think God purposely led me, went with my brother's got to Charles Court, and then I met David, and it seems to have come on a path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Yeah,
you know, yeah, the past the grievers.
From the minute you were born, you determined, you put them. Every day you're determined.
I always pray.
And that there is a time when God will turn it. You've been through a lot.
Yeah.
But then he says, she's ready now.
I mean, I used to get
glad. He'll take you to where you hear the gospel.
As a child, I always slept under, right up till I come to Charles Court, I always slept under the covers, winter or summer. I was always under the covers, and I'd be sweating. But I used to say, Jesus, help me. You know, I'd say it in these little words, and I'd be sweating. Don't let me granddad die, please. You know, me granddad. And I used to sweat. But as I look upon it, at the back, I could see steps. Getting better, you know. That I got pushed to one side of the school, even when I got dropped this down. I said, you know, can't study, don't know this. You know, but God has left me on a little seat. Yeah, even at Charles Court on the staff seat, James.
Yeah.
You're
a different woman. He never leaves you where they find you. Father always wants the best for you. Over to you.
I've had one in my car.
Sorry again?
In my car being going wrong.
Right.
And I've always pray for me. Help me just die right. So, I prayed, and I've gone to Paris. We've got cannon, but not on it. So that will be wipers. It won't work out.
That light on your
back. Right, yeah, right.
that kept going on.
So you've got mechanical angels working for you, have you?
But the funny thing is, Jamie's telling him, and being telling him, it's blatantly obvious she's been telling him, and directing him, and yet she doesn't take her own.
She doesn't take her own.
Well, I lost my prescription sunglasses yesterday. I couldn't find them, and I looked up. Well, not the day before, weren't it? I looked all over for them, and I couldn't find them. I did a double check everywhere, and it's like, and I'm racking my brain. Where are they? And I just says, "Looking angels, I need to find these sunglasses. You're going to have to find them." And so I took Charlie for a walk, and then I came back, and all of a sudden. They didn't care. I'd looked twice in car. So I went back to car and I did, and then I read, you know, floating dash. It'll be like floating dash, won't it?
That's where I put mine.
I don't remember putting it there because they usually pocket over it.
Yeah.
I've got a thing on that sun visor, and I'm like, alright, well, fine, okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, looking angels. Save me looking and wasting my time. You know,
we keep saying that, that God looks after small things. Fortnight ago, posted a letter, got a letter post over in Sandwich Jacket. So I lifted my trolley lid up and dropped it in the trolley. So we went to town, so we got to the other way, was a bit general. So I said, I'll post it here, we went past there. Took an old letter. So I thought, I must put it in the handbag, burnt in the handbag. So I got home, I couldn't find the letter. So I said, I didn't tell Jackie anyway, I couldn't find it. So I said, tell her on Sunday. So she says, well, maybe somebody's found it and posted it for you. Anyway, I've got confirmation
list
to the
app. Someone found it and posted it.
Which I thought, oh, it all posted it.
Maybe we've got postal angels as well.
And I looked at me, I kept
going
to
be
showing up, because
There's nothing small, and yet nothing's impossible. I mean, you know, same with when we used to have parking meters. Folks used to say to me, you can't pray for a parking meter. Why not? Yeah. I wasn't hardly getting any money, and I didn't want to put 20p in a parking meter. You know, it's a waste of money as far as I'm concerned. That piece of land I paid for in my road tax. Why should I pay again?
Exactly.
And I said, Lord, give me a parking meter. I just want 15 minutes on it. And there it was. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And, you know, God is interested in your life. And you have to remember that. Just for a few minutes, let's just pray through these names of God and worship God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does that mean, hallowed? It means just to give him thanks and worship him. To realise the, and we've talked even now, and we've talked about different experiences, how God is interested in the smallest to the biggest. And no matter what it is, God is there, he's for us. And so the first part of our prayer is, you know, first thing we've got is we've got benefits from sin. And you know, it's God, Jehovah, our righteousness.
Yeah.
God who actually sanctifies me, makes me clean, so I can stand in his presence. You know, this should begin to excite us, and we can come before the Lord and say, Lord, I just thank you that you, nobody else, nothing I've done, but you have made me righteous.
Amen.
And Lord, I just want to say thank you.
Yes.
And I just want to appreciate what you've done, Lord, and just let it soak into my heart and into my mind, Lord, what you've done. And Lord, that you've sanctified me, you've made me clean.
Yeah.
And no longer I'm a sinner, but Lord, you've cleansed me and you're working in my life. And so you just begin to thank the Lord for these things. And this is part of the first 10 minutes of just seeking God and praying. For your spirit, the Lord is Jehovah, the God of peace.
Yeah.
just begin to realise that when there's turmoil, when there's strife, when there's challenges around us, we just say, Lord, I thank you that you are my peace.
You
are my peace. And we can rest and trust in you, O God. And that no matter, Lord, what the situation is, no matter what circumstances are going on in my life, you're there. And you begin to say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to worship you and give you thanks, Father, that you are my peace. And that, Lord, you are there for me.
Always.
When there's trials, when there's tribulations, you are there.
You're my defender.
You are close by me all the time.
Yeah.
Even when I don't feel you there, you are. Because, Lord, you said in your word, you'll never leave me.
Mm-mm.
You'll never forsake me.
Mm-hmm.
You're always with me.
Mm-hmm.
You're my defender.
Yeah.
You stand with me. You shower me with peace. You cover me with your peace.
Mm-hmm.
And you rejoice in that and thank the Lord because of his greatness. And this begins to focus your heart, your mind, your spirit. Begins to cause you to realise that God is in charge. And then when you, God's your soundness, Jehovah Rophi, Jehovah that heals, that Lord, when I'm sick, you heal me. That Lord, as we said even earlier, that even in salvation, Lord, you've covered it. You've given me my healing. I was healed at the cross 2,000 years ago when Jesus took my sickness and my disease. I was healed 2,000 years ago. And Lord, I'm going to live in that healing. I'm going to call in that healing into my life. I'm going to declare before principalities and powers and before the throne room of God.
Amen.
I believe and know that I am healed.
I am.
Yeah. I am healed. And you just begin to worship God. I thank you, Lord, that not what my body says, but what your word says.
Yeah.
I'm healed. And I'm resting in that promise. I'm standing, Lord, that that's who you are to me. My healer. Jehovah. He's our success, the benefits of success. Jehovah Jireh, Lord, Jehovah, my provision. Your provision, Lord, shall be seen in my life. No matter what's going on, Lord, those things seem against me, Lord, your provision shall be seen. Though maybe I appear that I can't afford things, Lord, you will make a way where there is no way. And Lord, you will always provide for me. You provided for the children of Israel for 40 years in a wilderness. You can provide for me through the work of the cross, through salvation in Jesus. You are my provider. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for your goodness. And so you just pray in that form and just let that flow out of your heart. And let God just be pouring in as well. And as he pours in these things to you, confidence rises in him. Trust rises in him. Faith rises in him. And we rest in those promises. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah, my banner. He's my protection. When soldiers went to war, they used to carry banners to show them where their troops were. And to show them where to gather together. And to show them where they were moving towards. And you know, God has a banner. And we stay focused on his banner. We don't look at the things around us. But we look at the banner. And that banner is a symbol of protection. A symbol of victory. A symbol of security.
Vindication.
The Lord is at work. He's our banner. And he is still standing in every situation and every circumstance. He is not knocked down.
He
still stands. And the devil falls before him.
He
demons flee. before him. And Jehovah Rohi, again asks for our security. He's my shepherd.
Yeah.
In Psalm 23, you could read that. The Lord is my shepherd. Not he might be. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, you're my shepherd. And the shepherd looks after the sheep. Lord, you're looking after me. You're caring for me. I know you are. And Lord, even though circumstances seem challenging and not going in the right direction, but Lord, you're there. You're looking after me.
You are.
Even when the wolf comes to devour
me,
you're there to deal with him. When the lion seeks to attack me, you're there. When the bear comes against me, you're there. Always there to protect. The banner, the shepherd. And Lord, I just want to thank you that I am secure in you. I'm secure in you. I can rest in you, Lord. I can sleep and trust you. Because this is who you are. You are such a great God. And you cover my life with blessings. You cover my life with your life. And I receive your life into my life. I receive your blessings into my life. And just begin to praise him and to worship him for these things. And realize how much God loves you. And as you do that, you can spend a good 10 minutes thanking God for that. And realizing his power and goodness that is there for you as an individual. And I'd encourage you this week to, every day, just for a few minutes, to go through page 5 and just put yourself in there and put God in there. Put the two of you together. Because that's what it is. It's you and God together.
Is it long to keep... Well, every night when David and I pray, David prays first and I pray, is it long to thank God every time? Because that's what I do. I just say thank you for another day.
No, you've got to... You know, one thing that God loves to hear from you is when we say thank you. You know, you and us as parents and as people, when we do something for somebody, we love to hear that word. Thank you for that. Don't we? And if they don't thank you, you're thinking, well, what was that all about? So do 5. I want to hear how you get on next week. Oh, praise God.